נעשית עשרת כל תבואת זרעת יותר שדה שנה ושנה. So the Torah here talks about the mitzvah of giving ma'aser. Of course, in the olden days the ma'asot was given out of the wheat. עשר תעשה לכל תבואת זרעך היוצא שדה שנה שנה. Because in the modern times that we don't live, at least us in America, an agrarian society, we have commerce, we have business, so the ma'asot is given on kesef, on money, and the Gemara says on this, Aser, 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 Bishvil, Shetetashev. Aser, 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 Bishvil, Shetetashev. Give the Masrot in order that you should become wealthy. Everybody knows that Gemara. Aser, Aser. And the Gemara says that that's a sigula to become wealthy, but they don't know the source of it. Which means that Aser, Bishvil, Shetetashev, there's a backdrop to that story. There's a story behind the Aser B'Shvish and Tashem. It says that there was a Yinukah. Who Yinukah?
Yinukah
is like a baby, a child. Oh. Child that was coming out of the yeshiva. It's Gemara Ta'anit. And the Gemara says that he saw Rabbi Yohanan. And when he saw Rabbi Yohanan, Rabbi Yohanan said, you know, what did you learn today in the yeshiva? P'sukli P'sukka. What did you learn in the yeshiva? That was always the rabbi, just to test the kids. So he told them, oh, today we learned Aser, Te'aser. We learned the pasuk of Aser, Te'aser. Rabbi Hanan answered back to him, Aser, Te'aser. I'll tell you, Hadush, Aser, B'Shvish, Te'aser. He explained to the kid that. Aser, B'Shvish, Te'aser. So the Midrash says on this, that's the Gemara in Ta'anit. The Midrash says on this, that Aser Te'aser, Ha'u Dekhtiv. And this is what it says in the Pasuk, Lev Hakam Dimino, Lev Kesir Lesmolo. Lev Hakam, the wise man, Lev Hakam Dimino. He always goes to the right. Lev Kesir, the imbecile, the smolo. What does it mean? The imbecile goes to the left always, and the hacham always goes to the right. What does that mean? I once explained it. Is there's two types of guys that pray on Yom Kippur. They pray with the ma'azor of Yom Kippur. It's like 500 pages. So you have two guys. They're holding the ma'azor. One guy's always looking how much he has left. When is this going to be over with? And he always has his hand like this, you know, trying to eat up the pages. And then you have another guy, you know, he looks at the right side. Baruch Hashem, look what we accomplished. Well, when learning Gemara, there's two guys that learn Gemara. One guy opens the Gemara and says, oh, look how many more pages we have. Oh, we're never gonna finish. Another guy says, no, Baruch Hashem, look how much we learned. So this is the right side of the book, and this is the left side of the book. So the Pasuk says, Lev Hakam Limino. The Hakam always looks at the right side of the book. What he accomplished, how much he did. The Lev Kesil, the Smolo. But the Kesil always looks at the left side of the book. How much he has left to do, when he gets depressed. When's it going to be over already? You know, when's the ma'azor going to finish? So that's a derash on Lev Hakam Limino. The Lev Kesil Lesmolo. But on this, the midrash says Lev Hakam Limino, the Lev Kesil Lesmolo. What does it mean? What does it mean? The Gaber Aser B'Shvil Shetet Asher. What does it got to do with Lev Hakam Limino and Lev Kesil Lesmolo? Giving ma'asot, what does it got to do with the right guy and the left guy? The pasuk from the midrash is not appropriate, not applicable. So, Kedushat Zion has a nice piece on this. Kedushat Zion says like this. There's a Gemara that says, in several places, the Gemara says, Devre Torah, Aniyim b'makom echad, v'ashirim b'makom acher. Devre Torah, they're poor in one place, but they're rich in another place. What does that mean? Devre Torah, Aniyim b'makom echad, v'ashirim b'makom acher. Simply it means, when you're learning a sugya, sometimes when you're learning the sugya, in the place that you're learning, the commentaries are very limited. They don't talk so much. But they quote on the side that this Gemara is also in a different place. And when you get to the other place, you see, oh, that she has a long explanation, or so has a question. So, you always have to know that although the Dvar Torah is aniyim in one place, it's ashir in a different place. Just because you came onto the place where it's limited, try to find out where else this Gemara is, where else the Farshim talk about it, and Hakamim, they put the treasure in a different area, so therefore you have to know that rule. Otherwise, if a friend doesn't know that rule, every time he opens up a Gemara and has a problem with it, he's going to close the book and say, that's it, they don't talk about it. You have to know the rules. It's poor in this place, but it's rich in a different place, so therefore go to the other place and study it. That's a simple interpretation of the Gemara. But there's a deeper interpretation, and that's as follows. In the beginning of one's career, when he studies Torah, it becomes very, very difficult for them. Torah's a struggle. You're just trying to understand concepts, and you're trying to understand, you know, the style of the Gemara, and the language of the Gemara, and, you know, it's a hard subject. In the beginning, it can be very, very discouraging, this limud. The Midrash says in Parashat Noah, the choshech al penei teom ze talmud bavli. It's choshech. It's darkness. Very, very hard, challenging subject. To get the shekla v'tariya, to get the logic of the Gemara, and to understand, you know, the proper way of learning it, it's a difficult challenge. Nothing to talk about. The choshech al penei teom ze talmud bavli. However, one has to know that eventually, after a person gets his footing, all of a sudden it clicks, and all of a sudden his brain starts to get it. And all of a sudden he's able to understand Gemariot, and he's able to understand a lot of... But you have to go through that difficult time, but eventually it opens up. Like any wisdom, that, you know, you put your effort into it, and then all of a sudden it'll open up. And then all of a sudden, when he gets a little older, after he has a couple of years of learning, and he starts to open up sugyot, he has a lot of fluency. It's only because, you know, of the time that he spent when he was young, that he made these investments. So that's what it means when it says, Devre Torah aniyim b'makom echad. That means it's aniyim when he's studying it as a youngster. It's aniyim, it's odd. What, he doesn't understand the question, doesn't matter. But ashirim b'makom echad. Later on, the Devre Torah becomes Ashir. It's automatic. The Gemara says in the Gilan, basically it's a new interpretation. It says, Yagata umatzata ta'amin. If a guy toiled in the study of Torah, and he found it, he accomplished it, ta'amin. That means what? Believable. Which means that's something that's believable. You can believe him when he says, I toiled and I found. And all the Mephashim ask the same question. The word toiling is a work. Finding something, you don't find something by working. Finding is, you find something by say adat. When a person's walking down the street, he just finds it. He doesn't find it by, you don't get up in the morning and you work to find something. You find it there, it was off your mind. You have to walk down the street, there's $100 on the floor. You found it. It wasn't that a toil. So the yagata umatzata doesn't match. So the Mephashim explain it like this, based on what we're learning now. That the yigi'ah that you have when you're young, all of a sudden when you get old, it'll be like a mitzi'ah. It'll come to you easily. It'll come to you And that's supposed to be the attitude that the student has to have when he's young. He has to know that eventually this yigi'ah is going to turn into a meti'ah. It's going to become easy like butter. But during the yigi'ah time, you don't see that. You become depressed. And you get all discouraged. And you say, oh, I'm never going to get it, and I'm never going to understand it, and it's too difficult. But every great rabbi that you see today toiled, exactly. That was the yigi'ah. And the Gemara is saying that yagata will always lead to matzata. It'll always, not at that moment necessarily. Could be the years of yigi'ah, but eventually, all of a sudden you start opening up sivyot. Ah, I understand it based on the Gemara I learned when I was younger. And I have a question. Oh, that's what I meant when I learned it over there. Oh, it starts to click. All of a sudden things start to fall into place. All of a sudden things start to become clear. You say, wow, look at this, unbelievable. Of course, because you have all the yigi'ah behind you. So yagata will eventually lead to matzata, where it's going to be easy. And that's the same thing when it comes to giving charity. Just like the Bnei Torah is poor in one place and rich in another place, charity is the same exact thing. Ma'asrot is the exact same thing. Why? When you're giving charity, at this point, you have to give up some of your money. And a guy comes along and might say to himself, what do you mean? I'm making all this money now, and now I'm minus 10%. So why should I give minus 10%? He has enough bills. Now you got to give another 10%? So tzedakah is also ani b'makom echad. At the time that you have to give the 10%, it's a loss. However, it's ashir b'makom acher, which means what's ashir b'makom acher? Eventually, the Torah guarantees you that 10% that you gave is going to come back. Not right away. A person might be giving his 10% for a few years. And he's coming out and saying, I'm giving. But I don't see any... And he makes the calculation. And he says, in the past year I gave $50,000 to tzedakah. I'm living on the same standard. Nothing came to me yet. That's the same thing with tzedakah. Tzedakah aniim b'makom echad. In the beginning, it's difficult. It's a mechirat aniyut. However, ashirim b'makom echad. Eventually the ashirut is going to kick in. Just like the Bnei Torah, Yagata or Masata, Tzedakah is the same thing. If you toil in the charity and you give it, even though it's a difficulty in the beginning, eventually, so far, Oshadabu, the Kavod is going to come. The wealth is going to come. Well, according to this, the Kedushat Tzion explains, unbelievable. He says, the Pasuk writes, Orech Yamin Bimina, Bismola, Osher Vechavod. Orech Yamin Bimina. Orech Yamin is Orech Yamin, the long days, it's a long time. Orech Yamin Bimina, Bismola, on the left side is what? Osher Vechavod. So he says like this, when the right guy gives charity, when the good guy gives the charity, even though he's giving up, right away he sees what? He sees the future. Lev Hakam Nimino. He already sees the Orech Yamin. He already sees the end. He already sees, I'm not giving up anything. Eventually this money's gonna come back. He sees the long-term element of it. The Orech Yamin. That's what he's looking at. And therefore, the money that he gives at this point, although he's losing the 10% now, but he's looking in the long term. And he says, this is a great investment. For me to give this 10%, Orech Yamin, Lev Hacham Nimino. The wise man's Lev is always in the future. And that's the way he gives. He doesn't regret it when he gives it. However, the Lev Kesir, the Smolo, the Lev Kesir, he's looking at the Osher. And he doesn't see the Osher. So when he gives the 10%, he's saying, where's the money? He doesn't have the patience to wait for the ma'asim to kick in. Let you see. He only sees the, and when he doesn't see the orchard coming, so he gets despondent. And he's giving his ma'asim, he says, what am I benefiting over there? So the Kedushat Tzion says, that's what the Midrash was saying. Lev hacham nimino, but let you see him, let's mono. So what happened over here? This student was coming out of the yeshiva. Like the young student that's in the yeshiva and he's learning, and young guys in the yeshiva, at the beginning of their learning, they're a little down because they don't get it. They're struggling in the time. They don't understand what the Rebbe is saying. They don't understand all these concepts. and there's other guys that are older than them that, you know, are ahead of them probably, and therefore, you know, they get jealous. Oh, look at this guy, knows everything, and I'm sitting in here, I don't know anything yet. So it's that's the time of Devir Torah Aniyim B'Makom Echad. He's in the time of Aniyut, he's in the time of difficulty. So that kid came out of the yeshiva, and Rabbi Hanan asked him, what did you learn in the yeshiva today? So he said, Aser Te'aser. He said, I learned the pasuk of Aser Te'aser. What? Aser Te'aser means give the 10%. Which means he was understanding, Rabbi Hanan understood, he was saying, I'm struggling, I'm giving, Aser Te'aser, I don't see any blessing yet. All it is a loss. I'm giving the 10%, I'm learning and everything, but I'm still an Ani. So Rabbi Hanan consoled him. Rabbi Hanan told him, no, you don't know what the depth is. Aser b'shvir shetit asher. You have to know that the ma'aser is going to lead you to osher. Devrei Torah aniim b'makom echad, ashirim b'makom acher. He was giving him like a pep talk. He was saying, no, don't tell me aser t'aser. That's lev kesil l'smono. You have to be lev hacham d'mino. You have to see the long term of it. And even though you're learning now in a struggle, but yagata masata, that your yigiyah will lead to a mitziyah, and you have to see the mitziyah now. And when you see the mitziyah now, and it's Hashem guaranteed that the struggle is going to lead to a mitziyah, just like they guaranteed that the ma'asid is going to lead to osher. So the wise man, he sees already the orichenim, he sees already the next thing, but the lev kesil l'smono, he's looking for the osher. Where is it? He doesn't see it now. You're not going to find the osher now. It's a process. So therefore, the conversation between the Yohanan and the student, although it felt like it was a conversation in charity, it really was a conversation in derech halimud, in learning. Obviously, what is the Yohanan telling your kid? I'll say the truth. I'll say he's a kid. He has no ma'asrot. One on the $1.50, he gets allowance. He's giving. He's talking about, give you 15 cents. That's nothing. I don't know what to tell the student that. It must be the student. He has to relate to him on something that. Nogeya. Now what's Nogeya to the Talmid? The Nyan of the learning. So when he heard him say, Aser Te'aser, he understood, you know, I'm giving them Asot, but I don't, it's a loss, I'm struggling. He said, no, you have the wrong attitude. Aser B'Shvish Te'aser. When you're giving the Ma'asot, you have to already see the Osher already from day one. You have to see the Mitziah from day one. You can't be despondent. That's the path. Then Hakam Nimino. The Hakam is the Hakam of the Nolad. He sees the future. Or Hakamim Bimina. However, Smolah Oshav, look, you see, he's only looking for the bottom line. And the bottom doesn't come right away. Bottom lines take a long time to reach a bottom line. And the Kisil is bottom line oriented. You rather have to see a result. If he doesn't see a result, he falls out. That's Lev Kisil. Lev Kisil is Smolah Oshav. You don't get look at the prophet on day one. You have to know. I do this, it's going to come. What do you mean, Bimina? One day. So that's the comfort. That's the comfort that he has. On this inyan of the tzedakah, it's well known. The ma'aseh that the igra, the pirka, in Siman Yudalid, he tells a story. There was a Badhan. Badhan is like a jokester. And he came to the Igrat de Pirka Erev Shabbat in order to tell him like a joke, to get him into a good mood, you know, to go and get the Shabbat. So he wanted to tell him like a nice one-liner. So he tells the rabbi, he said, Miskin da'ani, da'ani is miskin. He says, he works the whole week, he doesn't make any money. Whatever he saves, the little money he saves, he goes, he spends it on Shabbat, and he buys food, and not like the rich guy. The rich guy, everything's easy for him. He goes, he buys stuff, Shabbat comes and goes. But the poor guy, Aziz, for him to make a Shabbat is a struggle. And then what happens, the custom in the olden days, even the Ben Yishai brings it down, on Shabbat, he used to read Masechet Shabbat. There's 24 chapters of Masechet Shabbat Mishnayot. They would read 8 chapters on Friday night, 8 chapters during lunch, and 8 chapters during Seudah Shlishi, in order to finish the Masechet. Every Shabbat they would finish Mishnayot Shabbat. So he says, now the Ani, he opens up Friday night, okay, Mishnayot, Yitziot, Shabbat, 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 The Ali is standing outside in the Shut al-Abin, and Ba'al Abayit Bifneem, and the Ba'al Abayit is standing inside. But Shat the Ali at Yadol Bifneem, the Ali stuck his hand inside and took a piece of bread from the Ba'al Abayit. Then Atam the took Yadol Shem Ba'al Abayit, or he put it in the Ba'al Abayit's hand, or Shem Atam the took it, or he took it out of the Ba'al Abayit's hand and brought it out. Ha'ani Hayab. So he says, Miskin the Ali is already struggling to make a Shabbat, and the first thing he reads on Shabbat, Ani Hayab. He tried to make the rabbi laugh a little, like it. I said, Miskin the guy, he can't win, like we're learning about this week. The poor get poorer. Not enough that he can't make a Shabbat. He figures to open the Shabbat, they're going to give him a nice word of comfort, a nice word of nechama and all that. The first thing he learned, Daddy, what did it say? Ani Hayab. Hayab, okay, Hayab also. Not enough. So this is what he asked the rabbi, this question. He was asking him as a joke. But the rabbi took it very seriously. Rabbi, when he heard this, he came along and said, I'll answer you over Shabbat this question. The Matan wasn't expecting an answer. It was a joke. All of a sudden, on Shabbat, the Igrad, the Pirkah comes to the Ani, to this guy, the Matan, and he says, already I made Aliyah to Shamayim, and in Shamayim I got the answer to this question. Serious question. He says, you know why the Ani is Hayab? He is Hayab because he stuck his hand in. He made his Tadlut. He shouldn't have stuck his hand in. He should have relied on Hashem and the bread would have came to him by himself. Ani Hayab. That's what he said. Ani is Hayab because he stuck his hand in. He shouldn't have stuck his hand in. He should have waited for the rabbi to give him the food. That's how he answered. Now, the question is a sketch question, obviously. But he took it seriously and he's answering them. The answer is much more difficult than the question. What does that mean, the scheme? You're not the biggest Tadlut? Why is the Hayab? Now what should he do? He has to sit home and trust Hashem. You'll have to go to work. Why is the Ani Hayab? So if I can explain it, based on Rabbeinu Ari. Rabbeinu Ari said that when a person gives tzedakah, so how does he give the tzedakah? He's actually spelling out the Shem Hashem Yud Kei Vavke. How is he spelling out the Shem Yud Kei Vavke? The coin is the Yud. It's in the rich man's hand, it's a head. When he sticks his hand out, it's a bab. And when he puts it in the Ani's hand, it's a head. Yud Kei Vavke, which is mercy. When a person gives tzedakah, it's a katatzil. Why? Because the Yud Kei Vavke is being spelled out. Yud Kei Vavke is the Shem of the Hamim. However, in this case over here, what happens? The Ani, he couldn't wait for the rich guy to give him the food. So what did he do? The Ani stuck his hand in. And therefore he did the Vav first, and then the Heh, and then the Yud Heh, that's Vahaya. Vahaya is the name backwards. And therefore, Havaya, he did it backwards. But now, whenever the name of God is backwards, it's Midat Adin. Yud Kei Vavke, Le'agid Ki Yashar Adonai, Tzulib Lo'avdat Tabo. When the name of Hashem is Yashar, Tzulib Lo'avdat Tabo, then there's no Dinim. However, when you do the name backwards, so therefore, that's what the Igrad Pirkan meant. When he said the Ani is Hayab, because he should have waited for the Asir to put his hand out to give it to him. That could have been Shtadut. Because then he would have spelled the name properly. And with this, the Mefashim say something incredible. They said that that's the Inyan over here of Masechet Shabbat. Masechet Shabbat starts off, Yetziot HaShabbat. Tosafot has a question. Tosafot has a question. The first question of Tosafot is what? Ekshad Iva, the Dine Otsaot Shabbat Tayar Lashut Kabe Avot Melachot. He says, first of all, why didn't the Mishnah begin off with Otsaot Shabbat? That's the thought. Yitziot, Otsaot Avale Lemitni. Carrying. We're talking about transferring the Shut Mishnah of Otsaah. Yitzi has the wrong word. Yitziot Shabbat. Yitziot means
taking out.
Going out. Okay. Exiting, entering. It's not the issue of exiting and entering. It's hotza'ah. It's transferring. So the Tosafot has a question on the syntax of the Mishnah. Hotza'ot avile lemitni. The Tosafot says, okay, we have a remez in the pasuk. That's why I use the word yitziot. But what's the real answer? What's the real answer why the Mishnah said yitziot Shabbat? So since already we're talking about the Mitzvah of Tzedakah over here, why with the tzedakah? Because obviously the Ani is going to the Ashir in order to get tzedakah. And we're learning over here the proper way to give tzedakah. And why is the Ani Hayav? The Ani is Hayav, we said, because he stuck us in and he ruined the shed. So the Mishnah begins. Yetziot HaShabbat. Yetziot HaShabbat is what? Yud He. The Mishnah is hinting to Yetziot HaShabbat, the order that you're supposed to do the Shem. Yetziot HaShabbat. If it would have said Hotzaot HaShabbat, then you have the wrong order. So then we, the Rabbeinu HaKadosh and his genius was hinting for us over here, Yetziot HaShabbat. However, you only have two letters. You only have Yud and you have a He. However, if you take the Yud, Yud, how do you spell Yud? Yud is Yud Vav Dalet. How much is Yud Vav Dalet? That's 20. And He is He Aleph. How much is He Aleph? Is 26. So therefore, in these two letters, really, you have all four letters. So that's what it says. Yitziot Shabbat Shtayim Shehen Arba. It's really Shtayim. It's only two letters, Yud Keh. But Yud Keh is really Arba. Because if you do the Yud Keh, you get to Chabad, you get to 26. And therefore, that's the remez of the Shem. So therefore, once already the Mishnah wanted to teach you this remez of Tzedakah, that if you see Chabad, it's your Shabbat. And since we're learning Masechet Shabbat, we know that Shabbat is the same concept. That's why we start the Kiddush on Friday night. Yom HaShishi V'Chadu HaShamayim. Yom HaShishi V'Chadu HaShamayim Yudke Vatke. Because Shabbat is no dinim. Shabbat is all the berachot of the week. They come from the Shabbat. So therefore, when we start Masechet Shabbat, we're connecting the mitzvah of Shabbat to the mitzvah of Tzedakah, which is the same concept. So we're saying Yetziot HaShabbat, not Hotzaot. Yetziot HaShabbat Tzayim Shen Arba. It's two, but the two become four. And therefore, the pasuk is hinting to us, the Ani is Hayab in this case. Because the Ani should have waited for the Ashiv to come out, and as a result that he didn't, so therefore he was Me'oreh Dinim on himself. And that's what the pasuk says at the end of this parasha. The pasuk says at the end of the parasha, Ish kematenat yado, kevirkat Hashem Elohecha Hashem natanah. So the Mefarshim explain, what does it mean, Ish kematenat yado? Ish, the man, according to the way he gives, kevirkat Hashem Elohecha Hashem natanah. So what is this kematenat yado, kevirkat? It should say, Ish matenat yado. What is it, kematenat yado? And then it says kibirkat. What's the kiz over here? It just say, Ish matenat yado birkat Hashem. The guy gives whatever matenat yado, he gets the berakah of Hashem. But don't say that. It says, Ish kematenat yado. So the simple interpretation is, well, it's relative. Ish kematenat yado, based on what he gives, kibirkat Hashem. That's going to be the berakah of Hashem. The berakah is not going to be equal to all people. If a guy gives more, and he can do whatever, and it's whatever he gave right, he'll get a bigger barakah. The guy gives less than he should have given more, he's going to get less. So it's a ratio. The kimatanat and the kibirkat go, each kimatanat yado, kibirkat. They go together. The barakah and the matanah go together. Go slow. I have to go to beat me now.
Oh, okay.
So the explanation we said in the pasuk is like this. That the beracha of Hashem, is dependent on what? Ish Ramotai, what are you answering this for? The question wasn't a question, an answer not an answer. Ish kematanat yado kibrikat Hashem. What's the explanation? Tzedakah obviously is done biyad. Oh, it's still going. Ish kematanat yado. What does it mean kematanat yado? So the center of Rav Hirsch once said, Ish. You want to measure an ish? The way you measure ish is kematanat yado. That's the barometer of an ish. The way he gives. The doctor once saw a patient that had a heart attack, and the doctor went and started taking his pulse. So the guy said, Doctor, it's my heart. Why are you checking my hand? He said, from your hand, I know how your heart is. Ish kematanat yado. From the hand, we know the way a person's heart is. Ish kematanat yado. But based on what we're saying like this, kematanat yado means the way his hands move during the mitzvah. Whose hand moved first? Which means, if the hand of the rich man moved first, so then already he did the yud, he did the he, he did the vav. However, if the rich man did not pursue the ani, and the ani, like in the case of the Mishnah, had to stick his hand in, now already instead it's going to be me'orer dinim because he did the. So therefore, the pasuk is saying, ish kematenat yado kibirkat Hashem, which means Like he gave the gift with his hand, depending on the configuration, that's going to also affect the beracha. And therefore, the question then obviously is, and we'll conclude with this, so that's why the Mishnah starts off Yetziyot HaShabbat. Shein Arba, Shtayim Shein Arba. With this, we explain, I saw the Sefarim bring down, what does it mean, the Gemara says that the Pasuk in Mishle, Yad Liyad Lo Yenakeh Ra. You're not supposed to put money into the lady, into the hand of a lady. You have some guys, they're standing on 7-Eleven, there's the man, and then there's the Jeep. So the guy says, I'll get a quick thrill. The guy's a pervert. So he stands online with the G over there, just to get a glimpse of the G. He can look at the, you know, whatever he's looking at. And then he gets a little thrill when he gives the money to a hand. You know, he gets a little excitement from this over there. Some people, you believe it, there's people like this over there. You say, but sir, the line is empty over there. No, I'll wait over there. That's it, he stands over there. Shemesh will give on the... So what's the explanation? Why did he do that over there? The Gemara says, Yad Yad Lo Yinakeh Lo Yinakeh Medina Shel Gehinam. He's not going to be exempt from the Gehinam because of this Yad Yad. I saw one time, I'm not going to say, we were in one of the meetings with the rabbis, and I voiced an opinion on something, and this young rabbi, whippersnapper, he came along and said, oh, you're against tini'ut, you're against modesty. So he's a rabbi in a shul. He's like an associate rabbi, whatever he is. So he took all my CDs, and he said, you cannot bring the CDs of the rabbi in the shul. I was in a rabbinical council meeting, and he's against tini'ut, and he put it out. I told one of the guys in the kollel, watch your eyes on this guy. Watch the guy. Watch the guy, because this is extreme behavior over here. And you got to be always cautious. When a guy comes out like this, there's something fishy over here. Fine. That same guy, we saw later on in the store, even at the mini mart, and there was a guy, yeshiva guy, and he's behind him. And the yeshiva guy is paying the lady, and he puts the money on the counter. All quarters, and how does yeshiva guy pay with his stamp? Coins and all this azata, $2 in every single coin you can imagine. Atimonim and the pesos, and he had the shillings from 1,000 years ago, the poor G. So now she has to pick up each one to count it. But she never wasn't complaining. So this rabbi says, behind, why don't you give it to her hands? You're allowed. What's the problem over here? Hey, slow down. I'm watching the guy. This is the guy screaming about tini'ut. And then he says, it's okay to give it to the hand. This guy's a zaifan. He's a wise guy. He's a busy guy. P.S., a couple of months later, the guy got caught. A married guy got caught doing avon with a Jew. Guy got caught. They had to throw him out of the yeshiva. They threw him out of the shul. They threw him out of the thing. I know the guy. This guy's screaming about tini'ut. He's screaming and making a whole noise over here. So you see what? Yad le yad lo yin akira. Hamim are right. Be careful. Be careful. Yad le yad. Yad le yad. So therefore, what are we saying over here? So now it's the question. What if a man comes into the shul now? We want to give tzedakah. So you give him tzedakah. You have kavanah. Yud, he, vav, he. But let's say a lady comes in. Sometimes they have these ladies in the hallway. They want to give tzedakah. Now what are you going to do? You're going to put it in a hand? It's not proper. But you want to do the Yud Kevavke. So we said many times with the Ben Ish Chai, do it in your own hand first. Which means, take the Yud, here's the other hand. Make a transfer, and then put it on the table, and let the lady take. So at least you can still make the Yehud, but you shouldn't do it with the lady. All of a sudden, now the guy's making Yehudim with ladies. All of a sudden, the guy... If she's standing up... I'm just saying, give it, put it in your own hand, and then put it on the table when you go outside. To figure it out. To figure it out. To get your money, Jimmy, so figure it out. Hold on.
I don't touch it. I give a bill and he takes the bill.
You touch it. Let me be wise there. You do touch it.
Rabbi, you didn't even give a cup to me.
I'm looking. I got to protect my students. What are you talking about over here? So now, they have a cup. He's right. You have a cup. Jimmy, they have a cup sometimes. They have a cup.
Rabbi,
why don't you just let me finish my story? I want to get out of here. Rabbi,
you never told me thinking about it.
So the point is, this is what the Mishnah says at the end of Masechet Kiddushin. The Mishnah says at the end of Kiddushin, Kol mi sheyesh lo esek im nashim, lo yitzyahed imahim. That means if a person has business with women, he shouldn't be alone with them. For example, a person is he sells makeup. Who would come to the store all day long? Women. Today, men also come, but in the olden days. when they still have two bathrooms in the olden days. In those days, when they had two bathrooms. So the ladies used to come to buy the makeup. So it says, well, you shouldn't be alone with them. Make sure the door's open, make sure the window's open, make sure it's not locked. Because but the deep interpretation is, it means esek shel mitzvah. He has the esek of tzedakot. So therefore what? He has the esek to give tzedakah to a lady. However, the pasuk says, lo yitzyahed imahim. Don't make the yichud yudke vavke with them. Because that's already, that's lo yitzyahed imahim. Don't make the yichud of the guy all of a sudden making yichud with ladies over there. So put it in your own hand and figure it out. Put it in the cup or put it on the table. So this is what it says over here. Ish ke matenat yado. As the way his hand is moved in the way of tzedakah, can berkat Hashem. That's the way the berkat Hashem is going to come over there, and that's why the Igrat the Perkat said, "Ani hayav, ani hayav," because he stuck his hand in. What did you stick your hand in for? You mean, Ani, you need your mazal to change. If you would have waited for the rich man to stick his hand out, then already you would have done the Shem Yitzkevatke correctly. And that's why the Mishnah says, so if not, we'll say Ota Shabbat. Yitziot Shabbat, Yudke, Shtayim Shen Arba. Just like the Shabbat, is Yom Mitzvah, Echol HaShemar, and the Ha'ar.